Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this podcast, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. My guest today is author Bonnie Engstrom. Bonnie holds a Bachelor of Arts in English from the University of Southern California and has studied creative writing at the University of Pittsburgh. She is a member of American Christian Fiction Writers and Romance Writers of America. Her genre is romance, and she tries to live her life by the Bible verse, "Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds," taken from Hebrews 10:24. Good morning and welcome to Step Into the Light, Bonnie.
Good morning, Patty. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here this morning. And the first question I would like to ask you, I like to kind of start my guests with where it all began, if you would. So could you tell us what kind of childhood experiences influenced you as a writer and a Christian? Did you enjoy writing from the time where you were young? Were you one of those that couldn't wait for an assignment in school that involved writing, or not so much? And did you grow up in a Christian home?
Well, to answer your second question first, yes, I grew up in a Christian home. They were believers, but very traditional, very Lutheran, if that makes sense. But I never really had a desire to write much as a child, but I was a reader. I loved to read. And I would read the newspaper. My father got a newspaper every single day, and I've continued that habit. And I would sit in his big plaid chair, and I would go through. I couldn't read at that point. I was only 4 and 5. But I would turn the pages, and I was fascinated by print. So that started me out. And then I think when I was in junior high, I joined the junior high newspaper, and then in senior high, I became the editor of the senior high newspaper, and actually was mentored by a local reporter for what was then called the Penn Progress, which was our local paper, and he had me write a weekly column for that. So I wrote a weekly column for that, and I wrote a weekly column for the Penn Progress, or for 10 Points, our high school newspaper. As a editor of a high school newspaper, I had the privilege of meeting John F. Kennedy and Jackie, because they had somehow arranged for all of the high school editors in the whole Pittsburgh area to meet them and be able to interview them. But I honestly can't even remember what I asked. It was just a thrill.
Oh, I'm sure for a young person, Bonnie, that was probably absolutely amazing to meet somebody of JFK's status. Oh, my goodness. I can imagine that you probably were kind of speechless, not quite knowing what to say in situations like that.
I remember thinking that the other high school editors who had the opportunity to ask a question before I did, I thought, they're asking such intelligent questions. I can't remember what I even asked.
Now, what year was this? Was he
gorgeous.
President? What year was
no,
this?
No,
was this he president he, then?
No, it was 1960, before he was president.
So he was a candidate, though?
He was a candidate, yes. And that's why he had come to town.
Goodness, I'm trying to remember my history, isn't it? I'm thinking it was 1960 that the closest I ever came to that as an adult. We had John Kerry come out here to the town next to where I live when he was campaigning. And my husband and I went to that. And I mean, we didn't get to see him. It was a rally thing. You know, we didn't get to talk to him. We got to see him. We didn't get to talk to him. But boy, for to actually be able to talk to JFK is quite amazing, especially as such a young person. I'll bet that was, something that you won't soon forget.
Well, I obviously didn't forget it. I think it had a big impact on me, and I think it made me want to major in journalism. But, of course, I ended up majoring in English literature. It was pretty hard in those days to actually major in journalism.
Yeah. Well, Bonnie, for several years, you kind of got your feet wet with some writing, but then you put your writing on hold, as many of us have done, when life happened and you dedicated your time to raising your family. However, during that period, you did become involved in education. Were there any particular incidents that deepened your faith, that maybe places where you kind of saw God at work while working with children and parents?
Yes, because I was introduced when we had just moved to a new community, bought our first home, and I was introduced to two women who are still very dear friends of mine. We all raised our kids at the same time. They were all about the same age, and they were both Christian. We started the first parent cooperative preschool in, I think, all of Southern California. And then I became very involved in PTA because I had a strong affinity for education. I really believed in good education. And I had a good education, so I don't know what made me feel that way, but I wanted my children to have one. So I was a PTA president 5 times. Two of those times it was a citywide school district, huge school district. And I also realized, after getting to know people better, that every PTA president behind me in my local school and in the school district was a Christian. In fact, the one Christian who installed me when I became PTA president at the elementary school actually used the Bible as installation, which I don't think anybody had done before that. So mm-hmm. That was really cool. And, you know, so that deepened my faith.
Yes, I would think that it would. Bonnie, in a conversation that you and I had a couple of days ago, you shared with me an experience with a young person who was ill and what mm-hmm. the kids did, the families did. Would you like to share that here?
Yes. One of the gals who started the preschool with me, Claudia, and I were super close. And we used to exchange children. So that's how close we were. I mean, our kids felt just as close to Claudia as they did to me, and hers felt that way to me. So we were real close. And we prayed a lot there was a little boy in our neighborhood, and his mother had been PTA president right before me, 2 times before me, and his name was Michael. We found out that he was in the hospital. He was dying of congestive heart failure or something. I don't know. It was so long ago. But it was very sad. And we lived in a kind of a tight-knit community, so we wanted to see if there wasn't a way we could support this family, because they were just, of course, devastated, and of course they were there at his side in the hospital almost 24/7. So we had big red hearts printed, probably at Kinko's, because we didn't have printers then, on just plain sheets of white paper. And we had a little note that went with them that said, you know, if you're praying for Michael, we explained a little bit about Michael, and if you're praying for him, please tape this to your garage door. We had 1,100 homes in our community, and we distributed those all over the place, on every street, and I think probably at least 50% of the homes had that heart on their garage door. Jan, the mother, just said it was, and so much to her. It just thrilled her that we did that. So that was sort
Absolutely.
Of a deepening of a faith. And then when I went to little Michael's funeral, and that really clinched the deal for me with the Lord.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those stories that they should feature on the news, you know, those good news stories that they have at the end of some of the newscasts, that a community came together like that. That's so thank you for sharing that with us, Bonnie.
I think they might have featured that. Yeah, and locally. I just don't remember. That was a long time ago, too.
I would not be a bit surprised. I would not be a bit surprised if they did, because the news stations usually are looking for something like that, at least for a once-a-week feature or something, you know. So, oh, yeah, that's really neat. Well, thanks again, like I said, Bonnie, for sharing that. with us. So you move on in life and you raise your kids. What motivated you to begin novel writing?
Well, I started novel reading because I don't even remember what motivated me to do that, to be honest with you. I did have a wonderful opportunity to go to Mount Hermon Christian Writers Conference. First of all, I guess I joined a local Christian writers group, and they encouraged me. Everybody there said, well, you've got to go to Mount Hermon. So, you know, I applied, and when I applied, they said there were no openings left. 2 days later, they called and said, we have one cancellation. Do you want it? So, of course, yeah, that was definitely a God thing. And so I did. I took it, and that encouraged me. And then I was able to meet Randy Elkhorn there. It was the first Christian novelist I ever read, and I loved his novels. And he signed his book. I took his book and he signed it. I think he was the keynote speaker. And that really encouraged me. And then I started reading Deb Rainey a lot, and I loved her work too. So I guess I thought, well, I can do this. So I sat down and started to write.
Actually, good for you, Bonnie.
This is kind of funny. I have a little plaque in my den that says wine, because no great story ever started with salad. Well, I was making a salad. Who knows, maybe I had a glass of wine next to it too. But I was making a salad. In the middle of tearing up the lettuce, I thought, I got to go write. So I just left it all on the counter, and I went back to my computer and wrote.
So you followed that moment of inspiration through, huh?
I really did.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, that, yeah, I hear you with Randy Alcorn. He's one of my favorite authors, too. I picked up his book, Heaven, a while ago, which is, of course, nonfiction. But it's so intense that it takes a lot of time to read that book. You don't sit down and read like 60 pages of that at one time. You want to really kind of assimilate what you're reading of that. So I read a chapter every now and again. It's not one that I'm going to read from cover to cover, but it's a fascinating book, and he certainly did a lot of research on that. Yes.
He does research for everything, even for his novels.
Yes.
I'm trying to think what the second one was. It's fascinating the kind of research he did, and people actually thought that he was black when he wrote it. And it was
because of
the research he did.
I remember reading an interview that he did about that, where people did think that, yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When your novels, Bonnie, what most authors, especially Christian authors, have a certain message that they like to convey. Do you have a particular message that you would like to convey to readers in your novels?
Well, I think basically it's hope. It's hope and the fact that if you really lean on the Lord, read the Word, practice what He asks, that you can overcome anything.
And that's very true. And heaven knows we can sure use some hope in this day and age.
That's for sure.
Yes. Well, I've read a couple of your novels, and they're very, what's the word? I think I mentioned in my introduction, they're kind of light. They're easy reading. They're fun to read.
Well, thank you.
You know what I mean? So if you're looking for kind of a light read, Bonnie's your person. So, Bonnie, I'm going to take a break here real quick. What I do is I usually remind listeners, we're far enough into the show now that I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Bonnie Engstrom, and Bonnie is a romance author. We've kind of been talking a little bit about her background, about her past, about what brought her into the writing world. And in the next half of our podcast here, we will be sharing some information about Bonnie's books, what she likes to write, what she has out there right now. And I would also like to refer listeners to my website, PattySheene.com. The reason I do that is because you can find this podcast and every other podcast that we have aired to date. You just go to the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top and click on that, and you will find a list of all our podcasts. And below each one is a More Information tab. And under that More Information tab is where you will find Bonnie's website, her Facebook page. I'll also put links up to her books. And she has a interesting weekly promotion, I guess you'd call it, that she does on Facebook. I'll let her talk to us about that here in a minute. So, Bonnie, let's get back to what we really want to talk about today, which is your books. And your Christmas novel is out. The name of it is Her Secret Santa. Tell us a little bit about that book. Give us just enough to where a person would want to read it without giving the whole story away. You can do that.
Oh, yes, of course. I think it's a really fun book. It's a book about, her name is Patty, spelled like yours.
Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
I didn't copy. My name just popped into my head when people talk about how do you name your characters. I don't know, they just come to me. Anyway, her name is Patty, and she takes a job as Mrs. Santa, a part-time job, because she's actually a preschool teacher, and the school, of course, is closed for Christmas break. Or, as it's diplomatically called, winter break. And so when she takes this job, she kind of resists but does end up falling in love with Mr. Santa, who owns the company. It's a small company, and he basically is the only Santa, although he does hire some others. But I think one of the most fun characters is her granddaughter, Tabitha, who's basically her sidekick. And I patterned Tabitha after my granddaughter, one of my granddaughters. And she's kind of a precocious gal, and she becomes Mrs. Santa's elf. But the reason that I was inspired to write this is because my oldest high school friend, her name is Sandy, played Mrs. Santa one year. And I have a wonderful picture of her with Mr. Santa when she's in her costume. And it just inspired me. I thought, well, gosh, if Sandy did that, I can write a story about it. So it's kind of a fun story. It's short, and I don't know. I think it's one of those things that they're older people who fall in love. A little bit like my Butterfly Dreams book,
mm-hmm.
which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah, the Santa, the idea of a quote-unquote professional Santa is very real, because I have a friend whose daughter and son-in-law do that. And, I mean, they actually have to go to a several classes, you know, to learn how to react in certain situations and all this kind of thing, you know. I mean, there's really something to it. It's not like, oh, I think I'll put on a Santa suit and play Santa today at a mall. It's really a very serious job. It's kind of interesting, yeah.
Well, I don't think my friend had to. And, of course, Patty doesn't have to, because she's a preschool teacher. So she knows exactly how to react to children. And I think that's basically why she got hired, because he asked her what abilities do you have? And she said, I've been a preschool teacher for 15 years. So, you know, I think that mm-hmm. works.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a bigger company. They probably hire out to several of the malls and things, you know, because these two, I mean, they mm-hmm. go all over the place over the holidays. They do, well, of course, now we're in COVID. I'm sure it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past when they've done it, I mean, they did malls, they did private parties, they did all kinds of stuff, and oh yeah, they had to take some classes, and it was a big deal. So anyway, it's kind of fun that you based your book on that. Bonnie, you've also published the Candy Cane series. Tell us about those books, where the idea came for them, how many books are in the series, are there going to be more? Give us the ins and outs of that series.
Okay, well, I'm completing the very last book in the series, which is book number 9. Right now, each of the books focuses on one girl. Everything takes, well, not everything, but the girls all live in Newport Beach, California, where we lived for over 35 years. You know, they always say a writer should write what he knows, and, well, that's what I did. It made sense. The girls were on a swim team together in high school, and because they were such a good relay team together, always relaying together. I don't know if people even understand what that is, but my kids were all involved in swimming, so that was probably where I got that idea. The coach let them choose their own swimsuits, and they chose red striped, diagonally striped swimsuits. And so people dubbed them as the Candy Canes because they were always together. They have had a very strong faith. They made a vow when they were 14 to always be friends and always pray for each other. And now they're in their, I don't know, 30s, early 30s. So they've kind of grown up along the way. It starts out when they're actually in their late 20s, the series does, but it does explain what happened. So there are six girls originally, and then they included a seventh one, Melanie. And Melanie actually has a couple books of her own in the series. But every girl has some book, and there's a social situation that is addressed in every series. The very first one, Noelle, Noelle's Christmas Wedding, that addresses abuse. And then there's Cindy's Perfect Dance, and Cindy just fell madly in love with a guy and then found out that not only does he have a debilitating disease, but he's in AA. He's an alcoholic and has been for years, although he's in AA. But one of my favorites is Connie Silver Shoes. You know, Newport Beach, where this is set, is very traditional, very what people like to call lily white. And Connie falls in love with an African American. So that's quite a situation for her to deal with. And for him, too. His name is Jada. And Jada actually is a real person. And that's
really
the only thing I've done in a lot of, yeah, in a lot of my books. I use real people with their permission. Jada was my banker here in Scottsdale.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And he helped me so much. Yeah. Handsome guy, you know, we talked and, you know, about what I did and everything. And at one point in one of our conversations, I said, can I use you in a book? Would you be comfortable with that? And he said, oh, sure. You know, I mean, who doesn't want to be? And I said, really? You know, it'll be nice. You'll be nice. Anyway, yeah. You know. So I took him out to the parking lot and took his picture. Looked so stiffy. He always had on a
That's
red
neat.
Jacket. And yeah, so Jada is, he's real. A lot of the people in my books are. Basically, the Candy Cane series is, it's a fun book, but to be honest with you, it's hard to write the series because I have to overlap the girls in every single book. I foolishly had too many names, too many girls, and I also foolishly named them too many cutesy names that are confusing. So I've often thought I should give a little lecture someplace and say, how not to write a series.
Well, you know, that's a very good point because, you know, I'm thinking series, like I just finished a 4-book series, but it was a whole, each book was a different generation.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, it spans 100 years of American history. So
oh, wow.
That's very different from you who are writing these people's lives that are pretty much intermingled throughout these, what did you say, 7 books or however many books? And I can see that would really pose some problems that once you've written the first couple or three, you're probably like, uh-oh, I wish I hadn't done this.
I know.
Kind
I
of thing with
me. Yeah.
Well,
so, each book can be a standalone. I mean, I deliberately made it so it could be, but because it's also part of a series, I have to kind of explain in each book who all the other girls are.
Sure.
And their boyfriends and their husbands and their parents. And, yeah, it can be complicated. But people have read and said they totally understand. So that's good. I must be explaining well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everything is concurrent, whereas in this other series, they're referring back to, like, their grandparent or something, you know, and
mm-hmm.
some incident that would remind the reader, oh, yeah, you know, back in book one, that's right, he's the one that owned the plantation or whatever, you know, whereas you, having everything concurrent and all these characters are still very much in the limelight in the present time, oh, yeah, I can see where... Things could have got a little bit dark for you trying to do that sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah, and we do talk about dark times in people's lives and even on the show. And even though some people haven't had a really horrible time, still, as a writer, I think everybody experiences some shadows. So
absolutely.
Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing that. Bonnie, in your writing, what do you find most rewarding about your writing career?
Oh, that's easy. My husband, Dave, is now the chef, and I can write while he cooks. He suddenly got interested. I really don't know why. I mean, he's semi-retired, but he suddenly got interested in cooking after we moved here to Scottsdale. Maybe because I was so involved with the grandchildren and more than he was. You know, I was always over at my daughter's house helping her and so forth. And I'd get home late, and, you know, he'd say, what's for dinner? And I'd say, well, I don't know. He started cooking. And now, you know, every morning he plans what we're having for dinner. He does the shopping, too, for that.
Well, boy, that's really nice. My husband did a fair amount of cooking as well. So, yeah, I kind of know what you mean.
Yeah, because, you know, he'll say, can you eat in, like, 20 minutes? And I'll say, well, can we make it 25? Because, you know, I'm still writing this chapter or something, you know. So yeah, it's really been fun that way. He's very, very good, too. He's a good cook. Very creative, very innovative.
Well, good. What do you like most about the writing itself? Do you like character development or your plot development or settings? Or what's your favorite thing to kind of do in creating your stories?
I think probably character development, because I will start out with an idea for a character, and then my character decides, I don't want to be that or do that. You know, mm-hmm. they just, you know, I'm sure you've heard other writers say this, characters take off. You know, they
yes.
make the decision. And
yeah.
basically that's what's happened to, I think, almost all of my books.
Well, it sure is fun to develop stories and characters and make them what you want them to be until they tell you, nope, I'm not going to be that. Kind of backtrack a little bit.
Excuse me. And I think, you know, I never planned for her to do that. I mean, I'm writing a story right now, and I think, I didn't plan for this girl to do that. I didn't plan for her to follow. In fact, it's a very traditional story, which very few of my books are. I thought, this is a boy meets girl meets boy book, you know, and that's
mm-hmm.
not what I usually write. But
yeah,
that's what's happening.
Well, what's next in your writing career, Bonnie? Do you have, you said you're about wrapped up the Candy Cane series. Do you have another series in mind or just some standalones, or what does the future look like for you, do you think, in your writing?
I have another short series in mind that actually was the very first book I ever wrote. And I just don't know why I put it aside. And actually, I had offered it to my publisher, years ago when I first started publishing with Winged Publications. And then she never pushed me for it, so I set it aside. It's called 3 Second Chances. And then I have another book I wrote called Family Secret that will be dedicated to a friend who died of Lou Gehrig's disease.
Mm.
Because it's about... Actually, it's about that disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have lots of, it takes place partly in Sweden, which is kind of
fun.
Oh, my. Because I did the write what you know thing about our relatives
yes.
in Sweden, and we were there. So. And then I have several short, novellas are short, but shorter you know, novellas that are like partially finished. And
mm-hmm,
I don't even
mm-hmm.
know why I haven't finished them. I think I just got to a point when I think the reason I didn't finish, you know, one or two was because then I thought of something else I wanted to write. So,
sure.
That's basically it. Yeah.
Well, good for you. And, you know, I was going to mention way back in the beginning of our podcast when you talked about writing a weekly column.
Yeah.
I always thought that would be such fun, but, oh, my goodness, Bonnie, I'm such a horrible procrastinator that I would be scared to death that the deadline would come and I wouldn't have anything ready.
Well, of course, most of my columns, both when I was younger in high school and when I was a PTA president, I wrote a weekly column for two newspapers in Costa
mm-hmm.
Mesa and Newport Beach, California. And that was, I think they were due Friday for Saturday's paper. But
yeah,
they were almost all interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, or at least they started out as an interviewing someone, and then I would elaborate on that subject. And so that wasn't so hard. It was kind of fun. And one of
it
my
does
best
sound
friends,
like fun.
She wrote, I wrote the education column, and my dear friend Peggy wrote the religion column. So
nice.
That was always fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Bonnie, I mentioned during our break, will you share with our listeners what you do on your Facebook page?
Oh, I love to. Sometimes it's about writing. Sometimes it's about books. For about a year, I would have different authors take over my page for a week. So I promote probably just one of my books each time, and I find a subject. Like I ask questions. And first of all, you have to sign up for my newsletter to get the newsletter, which morphs into my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask a question, and it's mostly about communicating. So, you know, people answer my question, and I reply back to them. And I have a random drawing at the end of the week that includes everyone who replied, everyone who chatted with me on Facebook. It's really fun. And, you know, every once in a while, I'll feature one of my children or one of my grandchildren, but I somehow figure out a way to give away a book.
Yes, it's a unique way for you to interact with your readers, which is kind of cool. A little different from the average, though. Yeah, I definitely
mm-hmm.
wanted you to share about that.
Well, you know, up until the pandemic, I was giving away a book and some stash that related to the book. You know, if it was a Christmas book, then it would, you know, I do have two other Christmas books besides Her Secret Santa. And you know, fun little things, you know, stickers. And I mean, one time I gave away a thing of stamps, you know, but I don't go to the post office anymore.
Mm.
For a while there, my daughter was taking stuff for me to the post office, but she doesn't want me to stand in line there. So now I just do ebooks. But hopefully soon I'll be able to mail real print books. I like to mail a print book that is signed by the author and has bookmark in it. And, you know, I just think that's more special.
Yeah. Bonnie, is there anything else you'd like to share before we close out the show today?
There is something I'd like to share, and it's not just about me. I think that people don't realize how important reviews are for authors. Reviews can raise your standing on Goodreads and Amazon and wherever your book might be. I mean, they're so important, and they don't have to be long. I mean, every once in a while I'll see a review even on one of my books where they tell the whole story. That's not the point. The point is, you know, two or three sentences. You know, I really
mm-hmm.
enjoyed this because, or, you know, I like this part. I like the characters in this book or something simple like that. You know, just say several things that you liked. Hopefully you liked, and if you didn't, be honest. That's okay too. But the more reviews an author has, the higher your standing is on, especially Amazon, and that's important.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I hope
that's
people
for sure.
remember that because they think, oh,
you're not the only one
that
mentioned that.
You know,
so hopefully.
Well, you know, you have to do it right away after you finish the book, too. Otherwise, you forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the other thing. You know, people think, oh, I couldn't be bothered. They'll go right to Amazon, click on, leave a review on that book, write your three sentences, and you've
made
an author very thankful.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Well, Bonnie, it's been a pleasure to have you with us today, and I want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, a happy and blessed Thanksgiving, and a Merry Christmas, and I hope that your book will do well, your Christmas book. You said actually that you had more than one out there, and I believe you have an Amazon author page. We'll put that up as well for people to find you.
Yes, thank you. Well, actually, I think that it's better if they look for my books on my website because they're all in order on my website and much easier to find. Where the Amazon author page, they're not always in order, especially the
I've noticed that.
Candy Cane series.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So,
okay. Well, I'll be putting all the links that you have out there up that you want me to put up. All righty. Well, thank you so much,
Patty. This has been, well, you're welcome, and thank you. This has been a real treat.
Take care, and God bless you. Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time, and when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. I would encourage folks to check out Bonnie's books. Like I said earlier in the podcast, she writes some romance. Her characters also deal with some issues that many of us face today. And she writes faith-based books. So please check her out. We look forward to having you with us next time.
There is a candle in every soul. Some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a